Welcome to today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program. My name is Joe Sirwinski. On today's program, I am privileged to be joined by Dallas County EMS Director Mike Thomason. First of all, Mike, thank you so much for joining me today.
Very welcome. Thank you.
So there's been a lot going on with COVID-19 over the last month and a half here, and your department seems like you've been dealing with it more than a lot of people. So talk a little bit about how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected your day-to-day work with EMS.
Sure. So when COVID first started coming out and we were alerted to it and yet to make it into Iowa, there was a lot of pre-planning prep, building up protocols, getting supplies that we knew we'd be needing, planning for kind of the worst case scenario, seeing kind of what New York had. The initial aspect was we were planning on doubling our calls and having a decrease of staffing by about a third, you know, because obviously they would be sick or quarantined. So that was kind of our initial plans. We started laying out plans of action, getting things in place, like utilizing first responders to help fill ambulances just in case, you know, we did drop staffing and our call volume doubled. You know, that's what the big prep was, is getting administrative pieces in place for the pandemic as it hit us. Lately, because it's here now and our call volume has increased and we're seeing probably about 5 calls a day dealing with COVID, now we're looking at more sustainability. You know, what can we do for sustaining these number of calls, sustaining our PPE use, our, you know, personal protection stuff, and getting it replenished, you know, depending on how long this duration will be. So now it's more of a prep for the long haul duration part. So the staff, we've kind of created some isolation areas inside the station. We got extra clothing for the staff. So if we aren't able to don a gown, they can come in, disrobe, go straight to a shower, shower up and launder their uniform, and then change into a new uniform so that we're, you know, clean and ready for the next call. So a little bit of things like that. We've cordoned off some areas with some plastic in the stations to allow the crew to come in, not contaminate anything, and get straight into basically decon. So a little bit of change of lifestyle for the crew, because they're now showering and washing clothes after every COVID call as opposed to before where you just change your gloves. Longevity of PPEs, making sure that we, you know, try to keep what we can clean, try to sterilize what we can sterilize, and that we have to dispose of, track it for a burn rate and try to make sure that we have some sort of source to get more of it. So kind of changed our life a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you don't mind me asking, how has it been going? Have you had issues of coronavirus symptoms pop up among your crew?
Yeah, we've had a couple tested and came back positive for coronavirus. They were then isolated and did their isolation and did their rehab and came back into service. You know, if they are immune now, they're actually probably one of our better on the front line, because we know they can't get it again. But, you know, that's not proven solidly yet, but depends on the strain too, I suppose. Yeah, we've had our fair shares of exposures. The crew does a really good job at trying to make sure that they don't get exposed. We document every exposure we do, and then we watch that person. And we monitor our temperatures every day for every crew member as they come into the door. So we know, you know, if they have a fever, we're sending them home. Right now, we're doing all right. The crew's been quite healthy and still with full of energy. So that's good. I think the outpouring of community support really has helped tremendously. I can't thank the community enough for that.
For sure. Now, I'll get back to that community support here in a second. But before that, you mentioned that you're getting some help from first responders and that sort of thing. You actually got it approved by the Board of Supervisors, a 28E agreement to basically allow that. So talk a little bit about that agreement and what it entails exactly.
Sure. So the state of Iowa basically says that, you know, all we have to do is add someone to a roster and we can have that person work on an ambulance or work for a department. The problem with just adding someone to a roster comes all the work comp liability, all the wage and hour liability and everything else like that, you know, and who pays for what exposure if they get exposed, and, you know, what if they're off their full-time job because of an exposure, you know, is the county liable? So there's a lot of administrative pieces to that had to come together, a lot of sending it through lawyers and getting it all worked out, but now it allows us to utilize first responders to help staff ambulances in a time of crisis. So that's good. We haven't had to use it yet, but having it in place is very vital to it. So very happy with it. We've had several communities come back with signed documents and they're very supportive. So that helps out a lot too, knowing that we have backup.
Absolutely. Now, as I mentioned, I wanted to talk more about that community support. I was actually there when you got donated 50 face shields that were 3D printed by a local resident. Talk a little bit about those donations that you've gotten and what you would say to those people.
You know, I would love to start a list of names, but I would sure leave someone out by accident. So I'm going to play it safe and not say any direct names. I will say that the community support, whether it be food, providing suppers to the crews, you know, because they're now tasked a lot more than they have been in the past. And this is kind of out of their norm. I know it's there in their job description, but this is a little bit above and beyond what is considered a normal job description. So the support, whether it be food, whether it be face shields donated by a young boy that printed them all off on his 3D printer and donated them to us, as well as to the hospital and to the nursing homes. Donation of cloth masks, you know, that was a great thing too, because that allows us to cover up some of the disposable masks, to be able to reuse those disposable masks, decrease our burn rate on those, because, you know, we're flying through this stuff and we're not just the only ones. There's a bunch of other services flying through these disposable items. So if we can make these things last longer, that'd be great. So things like that, the support with discounts, et cetera, stuff like that is been awesome, you know, and just the outpour of that you see on Facebook and any other type of social media has been awesome. So it's very good. We're very appreciative of what the community has done.
Absolutely. One last question I have here for you. What sort of recommendations would you give to people if they're showing symptoms of coronavirus and need some help?
You bet. Follow CDC guidelines. That's the biggest thing. And I don't have those in front of me, so I can't quote them. But if you're starting to have any type of symptoms or any type of illness, the biggest thing you need to do is stay at home and keep family members away from you and limit any type of exposure to even pets and family members that you can. If a family member is to go in and care for a coronavirus person or a person suspected of coronavirus, you know, basic hygiene things are the biggest things that's going to save you there from getting it. And that's washing hands, washing clothes, washing face masks. Don't reuse stuff without a cleaning between the uses. That's the biggest thing, you know. Don't touch the outside of a garment. Touch the inside of the garment, because the outside of the garment is going to have the virus on it. So, you know, take donning and doffing your clothing and your protective equipment, you know, in a sense that you're not going to contaminate yourself in the process of doing so. The nice thing is coronavirus does die with laundry detergent, so that's a positive. So just your typical wash doesn't even have to be a super hot wash, and your clothes are ready for the next visit to that patient. So basic hygiene at this point in time, and stay home if you're sick, you know, and limit any type of exposure to anybody else.
All right. Well, Mike Thomason with Dallas County EMS, anything else that you'd like to mention to our listeners today?
Just a big thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me and for all the information. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
That's been today's Perry Fairway Let's Talk Dallas County program with Mike Thomason. You can find this program at raccoonvalleyradio.com. My name is Joe Sirwinski with Raccoon Valley Radio News. Perry Fairway, always fresh, always affordable.